Hello, this is Lewis.
And this is Ian.
And welcome to 101 Films You Should Have Seen.
So, probably
yes.
Yeah,
thanks.
Almost forgot to say it.
So, this week we're doing The Sound of Music.
Yeah, we're staying broadly seasonal.
Yes, so at the moment we're recording this, it's just a couple of days before New Year.
We're in the funny in between bit.
Where
Christmas is done.
Yeah, but we're not quite in the New Year, so this is the lame duck years of 2011.
Yeah, the dying days of 2011, where not much really happens.
Yeah.
So we thought, rather than do another Christmas film, because Christmas is over now.
Yeah,
it's just depressing, isn't it, when you think about Christmas once Christmas Day is done. So now we want to look back, still a seasonal film, but one that's just played all the time.
Yeah, this is the kind of film that, between Christmas and New Year, you're just slumped on the sofa in a kind of port-induced haze, and this is what comes on, and you watch it even though you've seen it a million times before. Although in this case, neither of us have ever seen it.
Yeah, it's really unusual. The Sound of Music. How can both of us have gone all this time without seeing it?
So basically, we're doing this film because it's been requested by pretty much all of our female friends. Every time we tell them we're doing 101 films, like, oh, have you done Sound of Music?
Yeah,
what?
It does seem to come up a lot, and you're right, and lots of people are very surprised when we say, oh, no, don't have it, no, I've never seen it. So, yeah, it felt like one to do.
Yeah,
one
definitely.
One to strike off, get out of the way, and especially in this kind of funny in-between slump bit, because when else am I going to sit down and watch The Sound of... I mean, it's a long film, 2 hours...
I know, I can't believe how long it was.
To sit down and watch the whole of The Sound of Music. When else am I going to have the time?
Well, it's getting on for three hours. It's unbelievable.
On the 27th of December, when there's nothing else going on, and I was in the flat to myself, I was like, yeah, I've got the time. I've got the time to watch this now.
I think the enjoyment of this film was aided a lot by me by sitting watching with my girlfriend and her just mouthing along to all of the songs, bobbling her head around with a big grin on her face.
Well, you see, because I was sitting by myself watching it, I could just sing all the songs out loud at the top of my voice. What amazed me was how many I knew.
Yeah, I
know. It just really shows how how catchy they are and how much they're part of popular culture.
Yeah, totally.
And just been ripped off so many times and played on TV ads or in other films or TV shows or whatever. And I was just like, oh yeah, I know this one. Oh, and this one. Oh yeah, and this one.
Yeah, I recognise as well. My mum used to sing Doa Deer when she was doing the washing up and stuff like that. I'm like, now I know where it's from.
Your mum was just mad.
Mad, just making up random songs. Random lyrics about deer and tea with jam and bread.
Mums do that though. Mums do often have their own kind of weird little...
Maybe your mum does.
Yeah, women of a certain age often just go, you know, like people have funny little tunes they just hum to themselves or sing to themselves. I bet you have
mad
one.
Mad people have
that. I bet you have one, you just don't even realise it. I often catch myself going like, bom, 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 that kind of thing. I'm not quite sure what it's from, but...
Oh my God. Okay, moving on.
So the pitch, who wants to do the pitch?
Well, I guess neither of us really, because we didn't do this. I guess the pitch of it is a film to talk about with your girlfriend.
Or boyfriend.
Or boyfriend, yeah.
Because obviously the film has quite a large gay following.
Yeah, definitely. I like the idea that you can get it in a sing-along version.
Mm.
I mean, that's quite fun.
It's interesting.
There was an option on the DVD where you could just play the songs with the lyrics at the bottom.
Oh, really?
And it just
perhaps
yeah.
We should do that after we've recorded the podcast. when your girlfriend gets back.
When she gets back, we'll just sit there and sing along, yeah. Edelweiss. Oh, actually, what was your favourite song out of it?
Before we talk about that, we should do the pitch, I guess. We should at least describe what the plot broadly is. I imagine most people know. But you know what?
There might be some people like us who've never seen it.
Yeah, and also, it was different to what I thought it was going to be. So it's all about... It's based on a true story, which is mad in itself, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been changed a lot.
I was going to say, I was surprised to find it's based on a true story, but actually... they've taken bits of it and just made their own.
Taken, I guess, the main heart of the story. But it's all about the Von Trapp family.
Funnily enough, the things that you think wouldn't be true are actually the ones that are true, and the things you think might not be true. Like, apparently the bit where, you know, they call the children down, with the captain calls the children with the whistle. Yeah. Apparently that actually happened in
real
life.
Really? I read that didn't happen in real life.
Oh, well, I read the opposite. Oh, there we go.
I read that he... because Julie Andrews plays a nun in training. A trainee nun. Yeah. Is that what you'd call them?
A training nun.
Training nun.
That's what you start off in the training nuns, and then you work your way up to the real nuns.
And who's just not a very good nun. Essentially, that's the whole...
How do you solve a problem like Maria? That is the big question that's asked at the beginning of this film.
Yes, how do you solve a problem like Maria? And all the nuns stand around
a flippity-jib, a blah, 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 blah.
Singing a song to each other, saying, oh, how are you going to solve it? And so she's not a very good nun. They send her off to be a governess.
Essentially, just to get rid of her.
Yeah, basically. Like, you're a rubbish nun. We like you, though. You are likable.
So you're quite funny. You make us laugh.
You know, we're not going to kick you out of the nunnery, per se, but we are going to send you away because you're a bad influence.
We never fire anyone here.
But we feel it's in your interests. We're going to give you an opportunity to better yourself by moving on away from us. So she goes, becomes a governess for a family of 7 children, motherless children.
Yes, the mother died.
Yeah. So unexplained circumstances. That was a plot line left alone.
Yeah.
And a stern father figure, man. Father.
Who is, bizarrely... A naval captain in Austria.
Yeah. You know, now you've said that, I've never even considered that.
Yeah, so Austria, a landlocked country.
But it will remember Austria, before the First World War, was Austria-Hungary.
Yes.
And it would have had an imperial navy.
But during the time this movie's set,
it didn't have any. But then again, it was, presumably he would have served during the first, he's old enough to have served in the First World War. So that's where it
comes
from.
Well, I think the thing is...
And
right,
also, he doesn't seem to be doing anything... Well, this he's not navelling around until...
He's not navelling.
Until the outbreak of war.
Okay, so this film's set in the late 1930s.
Yeah, now that was interesting. The film opens set in the last golden years of the 1930s. It's like, golden years? It was a pretty grim day. I know the war wasn't happening, but... The Great Depression, it wasn't much fun.
Well, maybe in Austria it was all fun and games, who knows?
Well, not really. Austria was suffering just as much as Germany.
They seem pretty happy. Mm. They're making clothes out of curtains and stuff. Anyway, so, yeah, but basically, so the First World War ended in 1918. Austria-Hungary broke up.
Yes.
Lost its coastline.
Yes.
So for the past 20 years, this man's just been pootling around Salzburg, basically not having a job. I mean... If you're a naval captain and you don't have a navy, what else is there to do?
I don't know, but yeah, that's true. Oh, they must... I don't know. Do Austria have a navy now?
Well, if they do, it must be pretty small. Maybe they've got a pond somewhere that they just...
They might have agreements with various countries to...
Who knows? To... Interesting question, though.
Yeah, well, for those of you... I mean, you never know. Perhaps 101 Films is big with the Austrian navy. Right now, there's loads of Austrian sailors.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting fact that Bolivia, another landlocked country, also has a navy.
Really?
Because it used to have a coastline.
Three guys in a bath.
It used to have a coastline, then it got nicked by Chile and Peru in some wars, and Bolivia refused to disband the navy because they're basically saying that they want one day get it back.
Oh, wow.
So they've just they just float around Lake Titicaca. Just practicing.
Doing pleasure cruises for
tourists. Exactly.
Well, good. So the governess...
We're back to the plot now.
Just a very briefly, so the governess goes there and she, you know, he's very stern and she makes him smile and the kids are all happy again and essentially he falls in love with her. Mm-hmm. And then...
Turns out he's got another girlfriend.
Kind of, yeah. Although being the stern, slightly cold man, you know, he's to and froing. It ends with basically them getting married and then having to leave the country because he's being forced to join the German Navy as
he's being forced to do something. Basically.
He's being forced to. He's
used to his idleness in the Austrian Navy, and now they're like, "Oh, now you've got to go."
Yeah, rather than him being a noble, brave man standing up against Nazism,
just lazy.
He just doesn't want to go back to work. His sick note's being rescinded, and he's going to have to go back to Berlin. He's like, "No, I'd rather just sit around singing songs with my kids."
Exactly,
seven children. Who's looking after them? The state.
Exactly. You know, he's been busy in the 20 years. He's not been sailing
Seven
around.
Different mothers. Yeah. So that's broadly the plot. But it's a bit, because I think before I saw the film, I thought it would start off with them meeting the kids after about half an hour, being part of the family, and then the rest of the film would be that about them escaping the Nazis.
Yeah.
Because it's often talked about, oh yeah, they're running away from the Nazis.
Yeah, that's the bit I... Yeah.
That only makes up like the last 20 minutes of the film.
Not even, I mean, actually, them escaping, I thought it would be like some epic trip across the mountains. Actually, it's like a minute on the film.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. And the rest of the time is her... Yeah, and on the DVD copy we watched, they've kept the intermission in.
Yeah, that was
and
funny.
It's strange because it's almost like... if you'd moved the intermission perhaps half an hour later, you could have had just one film there where she turns up, stern captain, his heart is melted, the kids have fallen in love with her, she falls in love with all of them, they get married, the end. And that could have been a film.
Funnily enough, when we were watching it, actually, when it got to the marriage bit and it kind of... she's the shot outside the church. I said to Flick, "Oh, is that it then?"
Yeah.
And she's like, "No, no, there's loads more." And I'm like, "What else is there to tell?"
We've been watching this for hours.
I mean, but they've got, you know, they fell in love, they got married. That's it, isn't it? But no, it carries on.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, it's almost like they. You feel like they could have made one film and then made the Escape from the Nazis the sequel.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting.
So anyway. That was the broad overview of the film. So the characters in the film, we've kind of mentioned a couple. We've actually said the names of the actors
so
in it. Obviously, Julie Andrews.
She's the main nun.
She's the main nun, the key nun, the big cheese nun, who plays Maria, who is, as we said, kicked out the nunnery. and ends up becoming the governess and ends up being the wife.
She's got quite a funky short haircut in this film.
She has, yeah. She's really good in this. Yeah. I think she's fantastic in it. Mm. And I think she really stands out as, I think, the best performance in it. It's really good. I can understand totally why people like her.
Really amazing.
There is a touch of the Manic Pixie Dream Girl about her.
Definitely. I was going to say that. Yeah, the Manic Pixie Dream Girl keeps a recurring motif in these podcasts.
She turns up and basically is just so... It's nothing to do with her happiness at all. Mm. It's all about the kids and the father. And it's about making them happy. And she seems to have no real desires or wants or concerns of her own. Yet she's quite eccentric and outgoing and funny and crazy. Actually, there's a bit... Funny enough, there's one moment where, where she's going to the house for the first time, and it's like,
Confidence in me!
Yeah, I have the confidence. What's the song called? I have the confidence? Or have the confidence?
Something confidence.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
And there's a great where she's kind of marching across the front of the house, and she sort of does a sort of funny little trip. And I was like, oh, that's such a clever little endearing bit. And I was like, that's really good. And it really made me think, oh, wow, that's such a good performance. Mm. I then read afterwards that was a mistake.
No, was it?
Yeah. Quite rightly, the director thought it just fit so well with the character that it was a really good night, you know, to sort of show that even though she's singing this, I have the confidence, and then she suddenly kind of stumbles because she doesn't really.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah, because I thought that was, that's a real clever little bit of acting there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. It was just... Oh. It was a clever bit of direction to keep the mistake in.
Yeah.
You know, to look at it like that.
Yeah.
We've got Christopher Plummer.
He's good, isn't he?
Yeah, he's good as well. He doesn't have a huge amount to do, really, other than stand there looking stern and then start to smile.
Edelweiss, Edelweiss. I feel that song was in my head for days afterwards.
All the kids. I can't remember what to name all of them. There's seven of them.
They've all got a million names. Gretel. Brigitte, no, hold on. I've even got them up here. Let's get this. Right. What is it? Liesel, Louisa, Friedrich, Kurt, Brigitte, Brigitte, I think. Marta and Gretel.
Yeah.
Cute
yeah.
little Gretel. Blimey, she's grown up now. Have you seen... just seen the picture of her on IMDb.
Ooh. She's looking good for her age.
She might not be alive, I don't know. Anyway.
Well, according to Internet Movie Database, she was born in 1958.
Right.
So, I mean, if she's dead now, that's quite sad. And
I'm just going to look it up now.
I don't mean...
A few more. You keep talking.
I can't. The stuff I was going to talk about was on the previous page.
Oh, shit. Okay, right, let's go back.
Cut all this out.
Who else? Oh, Lisa. We looked up Lisa earlier. Interesting. She's played by Charmian Carr.
Yeah, Charmian Carr, who plays the eldest daughter, who I suppose has the most to do out of all the children. She has her own little kind of plot line, doesn't she, about kind of falling in love for the first time with Ralph.
Ralph. He was very Aryan, wasn't he?
Very Aryan. Turns out to be a Nazi at the end, spoiler alert. she has her own song as well. I am 16, going on 17.
Now let's have sex.
I don't quite remember it.
I'm sure that was the undertone, wasn't it?
But, I mean, she was a really pretty girl and really good actor, but... She didn't star in anything you were saying. Yeah. She didn't star in anything.
Well, I was just reading about this. I think she starred in one more TV movie, but when she was publicising The Sound of Music, she met someone and she married him, and then they settled down and had kids. And
there you go.
She just,
strange.
Yeah. Just dropped out of showbiz.
Well, it does happen. Yeah, people. It's a hard job. I think people forget that. Making films and stuff like that is actually quite difficult. It's hard.
Yeah.
And also, it's not. The most, I imagine as a job, often it's not probably best for your mental health.
No,
a lot of pressure
not.
On you, lots of people staring at you, especially when you're quite young.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking, I mean, she could have been a huge star, but then, maybe now she's kind of like, got two lovely kids, she might just be in the Priory by now.
Yeah, exactly, well, quite, I remember reading... This would be a much better story if I could remember the comparison. But it was comparing Marilyn Monroe with another kind of 1950s sort of cheesecake blonde bombshell, and who never really achieved stardom. Always appeared in a few B-movies, but never had a breakthrough film, and always was on the brink of breaking through, but never did. But as it said at the end, Marilyn Monroe is dead now, and this particular actress was happily married and settled and quite happy and cheerful. Yeah, had a bit of fun in the 50s with her kind of like, I starred in a few films, and that was it. It didn't kill her.
Yeah, there we go. Don't try showbiz, kids. Don't start.
There's loads of nuns by various people.
Yeah. I'm not even going to bother going.
Just nuns. And I suppose the other bit really sort of big answer is Max, how do you pronounce this? Dwightler?
De Vila? I don't know. Richard Hayden.
Played by Richard Hayden. Now, he's very good at reducing the amount of kind of saccharine and sentimentality in the film, I think.
Yes, definitely. Because it is cheesy. Blimey, it's
cheesy.
It
is cheesy, yeah. And... God, really, dear. Without the Nazis at the end and him in the middle, it would perhaps be a little bit too cheesy and over the top. Everyone is so reasonable in the film.
Yes.
The only people who aren't reasonable are the Nazis.
Yeah, those bloody Nazis.
Even like the...
Those damn Nazis.
I know.
So damn unreasonable.
Even the Baroness, who's sort of set up to be a bit of a villain, because she sort of tells Maria to leave, doesn't she? Even then, when Maria comes back, the Baroness is like, you love each other, so you should be together.
I couldn't believe that. I was like, what are you doing, woman? This woman has stolen away your future husband and this potential fortune, and you're going, you love him though, don't you?
Yeah, but
I'd be furious.
Everyone was really reasonable in it. It's just that everyone except the Nazis.
Yeah. You just can't argue with Nazis.
You can't. We did though, didn't we, eh? In World War II, and we won that argument.
Yeah, that quarrel turned out all right. Anyway, so should we move on to the trivia quiz?
Trivia quiz.
Woo!
Trivia! I've been listening to some of the old podcasts recently.
And, why? What made you do that?
Well, because I'm doing the trivia question page, so I'm trying to listen to them and write down the trivia questions. And it made me laugh that... With Top Gun, our first one, we did straight away just go trivia for no reason. I can't even remember. It's a shame we never had the discussion. Let's have the trivia quiz jingle as that. It just came from within.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Okay.
So, should I go first?
Yeah, you go first.
All right, okay. So, this is a bit of a tough one, but I'm going to give you multiple choice.
Oh, wow.
And it's in two parts, so half a point each.
God, this is getting complicated.
As you will know, Lewis, at the end of, towards the end of the film, there is a big show. Was it the Salzburg Folk Festival?
I know.
It was something like that. Which
it's made out to be the biggest event in the This is the biggest thing that ever happened to Salzburg.
It is lots like, hey, if you enter it, you'll definitely win the Salzburg Folk Festival. And it's like lots of talk like, well, we have to have the Salzburg Folk Festival, otherwise they'll realise the Nazis taking over has changed Austria forever.
Exactly.
But it's packed as well.
It's packed.
It's four to the rafters.
If you make it at the Salzburg Folk Music Festival, you'll make it in Hollywood, kid.
Ooh, it's like Kurt's really here.
Oh,
anyway, so Kurt's in rehab at the moment after that Christmas party. So, at the end, they announce three winners. Obviously, the Von Trapps family wins first prize.
Oh, no.
Third and second, we have two other acts. Now, who came third? Was it Fräulein Nader or Fräulein Schweider?
I'll go Fräulein Nader.
Fräulein Nader, okay. And the act that came second were either the Hermann Klomp Four or the Toby Weiser Quintet.
Toby Weiser Quintet, I think.
Okay. Right. At the end of the film, they flee.
Is this question two?
Yeah, question two. Sorry.
All right, okay.
They flee over the mountains to freedom, to escape Nazi Germany, or Nazi Austria as it is then. Real life, what is particularly ironic about the path they took?
Oh, I know this. It's the actual mountain path they took leads directly towards Germany.
Yeah, okay. And question three. What did Christopher Plummer call the film? He didn't particularly like it. What did he refer to it as?
The Sound of Puzik.
Sound of Puzik, okay.
He really didn't like it.
Puzik, okay. Right, okay, that's my three.
Right, okay, that was quite hard, actually. All right, here's mine. Number one, where did the real Von Trapp family flee to from Austria?
Oh, they got the train to Italy.
Okay. Question two. When Maria asks the children what their favourite things are, what is their first answer?
Oh.
It's one of the little girls answers.
Yeah. I can't remember.
Okay. Question three. Which beloved 1987 comedy did Christopher Plummer star in? It also starred Dan Aykroyd and Tom Hanks.
1987?
Yeah.
Ooh. The Burbs? I think so, is it?
Final answer?
Yeah, I can't think of any other, okay. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Right, okay. So, with your questions... Who came third? It was actually Fräulein Schweider.
Schweider!
So, not half a point for that, but it was the Toby Weiser Quintet came second. The reason why I wrote that question down was it just really stuck out. The Toby Weiser Quintet. Just made me laugh. So you got half a point there. It did lead, the path of the film did actually lead to Germany. Even more ironic, it actually led to an area where Hitler kept his mountain house. So they would have walked straight into Hitler's arms. But I'll give you a point for Germany. And finally, what did Christopher Plummer call the Sound of Music? And you said the Sound of Puzik. It wasn't actually that far off. It was the Sound of Mucus is what he referred to it as. So 1.5 points for you there, Lewis.
Okay, all right. So you are, I said, where did the real Von Trapp flee to from Austria? You're right, Italy. They took the train to Italy.
Yeah.
But it's a bit more simple than walking into Hitler's bunker.
Yeah.
Question two, when Maria asks the children what their favourite things are, what is their first answer? First answer is a little girl, she says, Pussy Willow.
Well, no wonder I was going to remember that. I remember one of them saying bunnies.
Bunny rabbits, yeah, Christmas was another one of them.
Oh, Christmas, yeah.
But, and snakes was
Pussy
one of them.
Willow?
Pussy Willow. I was
what
like,
is that?
What? That did make me snigger a little. There's another line in the film. It's, what's up with all you gloomy pussies? I'm like... Anyway, moving on.
It's an Austrian line.
It's an Austrian thing. Which beloved 1987 comedy did Christopher Plummer star in? Dragnet.
Ah, course! Damn it! Dragnet, of course. I couldn't picture Dan Aykroyd and Tom Hanks in a film together.
Yeah.
Because you know why? I kept imagining Tom Hanks as the serious one and Dan Aykroyd as the crazy one. Where, of course,
it's Dragnet
the
other way
is
around.
The opposite round. Yeah. And you forget that in the 80s, Tom Hanks played sort of very, like, outgoing, crazy, shouting kind of double-taking sort of comedy roles. Mm-hmm. God, that's annoying. Dragnet, of course, a good film, Dragnet.
It is a good film. It's a shame we've both seen it, otherwise we could have done it for the podcast.
Well, funny thing was, I switched off The Sound of Music and just the first film that was on, the film that was on TV is when I switched off the DVD player, was Waterloo with Christopher Plummer playing the Duke of Wellington.
I've not seen that one. Any good?
It's kind of filmed in a documentary style almost, like about the Battle of Waterloo, just showing that like, as it goes through. It looks like, not bad.
Sounds good.
Napoleon doesn't really look like Napoleon.
Does he look like Christopher?
Well, when I think of Napoleon, I think of Napoleon from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure as the definitive version of Napoleon.
He's the definitive silver screen version of Napoleon. So, Crits!
So, what do you feel the strongest bits of the film are?
Well, definitely the songs. I mean, they really stand out, and they're really, really good tunes. Yeah. I particularly like How Do You Solve a Problem Called Maria?
Marry her off! That's essentially the answer to this. Something like Maria.
Send her away from the nunnery.
I think all the nun songs are rubbish.
Oh, no. Climb Every Mountain. Climb Every
Mountain. Oh, that just went on forever. That was just terrible. The song about How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria's? That's the nun song, isn't it? That's not bad.
That's a good one, yeah.
But, yeah, Climb Every Mountain. Oh.
What's your favourite song out of it?
I don't know.
Should we come back to that?
Yeah, let me have a think about that.
I think my favourite is probably Edelweiss. I like Edelweiss. That was stuck in my head for ages.
Edelweiss. Yeah, that was purposely written for the film. It's not an old.
Really?
Austrian
it sounds
folk
like a yeah,
song.
Yeah. It sounds like an old folk song.
Yeah,
it?
No, it's not. Yeah. It was written just for the film, and also because it's the sort of thing everyone always mentions. The Sound of Music is not particularly well known in Austria.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, it's not particularly popular.
Yeah,
although it's the kind of various tourist traps, which were the bits of the film were done.
It's a great tourist advert for Austria, isn't it?
It is. It makes the country look absolutely beautiful.
I know. I really want to go to Salzburg now.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard it's all right. A friend of mine went there, said it was all right.
I have been to Austria, but I've not been to Salzburg.
Have I been to Austria? I don't think I have, you know. Fact.
That's an interesting fact. You heard it here first.
I would say Do, Re, Mi.
Do, Re, Mi, yeah. Good. Do, nice one.
Re, yeah, that song.
Do, a dear, be a male dear, be a goddess.
I like the tune.
That one goes on for a while as well. I tell you one thing about all the songs is that they just going to keep doing this for the whole podcast. I'd like to see you reach the high notes.
At the end.
But, they play each song. You know, they get the money's worth out of the songs because each of them is played at least twice.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, it's 2 hours, 40 minutes
exactly.
Long.
It could have been basically half as long if they'd just done the songs each once.
Amusingly, apparently this film was massively popular in South Korea.
Really?
Yeah, insanely. When it came out, just cinemas were showing it like 6 or 7 times a day. Mm. And this is in the days when, we're not talking 10-screen multiplexes. Yeah,
wow.
Most cinemas were only 1 or 2 screens. And one cinema owner, just wanted to play it more to try and get more money.
Yeah.
He played a version of the film with all the songs cut out.
That can't be true. That's
hey, it was on Wikipedia.
Did you read that on the internet? I told you to not go trusting internet.
I think it was on Wikipedia, but maybe I hope it is true.
Oh,
speaking of international titles, there's again on Wikipedia, there's a list of some amusing, well, not amusing, but just interesting titles.
How far can we trust this?
Let's just say
it's true.
Yeah. So in Brazil, the film was called The Rebel Novice.
The Rebel Novice. Well, yeah. I suppose, yeah.
France, The Melody of Happiness.
That made me laugh for no real reason.
The Germany, it was My Songs, My Dreams.
My Struggle.
God. Hong Kong, I think, is the best song. Angelic music flies and heard everywhere.
I'm sure it's a lot better in the original
Italy,
language.
Italy, it's all together with passion. That makes it sound slightly strange.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's probably the best one.
All together with passion. Talk about Spanish national stereotypes.
Smiles and tears.
What? Smiles and tears?
And so on, it was truth, kindness and beauty. And Thailand, love spell, heavenly songs.
How bizarre. That's quite random. Different names, isn't it?
I guess it's whatever each of those countries particularly reads into the films. Yeah. You always forget that, actually, how different films, when they're shown across the world, certain elements of the plot or character motivations are interpreted totally differently.
Yeah.
I read somewhere about how Independence Day was... Someone was writing about why Independence Day was so popular around the world. It's because it had... something which appealed to lots of different kind of cultures and national characteristics. So, America obviously was bombastic and the Americans saving the world. I read somewhere like the Japanese liked it because it had someone, killing themselves at the end where he flies his plane up into the main mothership to destroy it. Yeah. So self-sacrifice for like the greater good and for his family as well.
What was it called in Japan? Was it still called Independence Day, I wonder?
It was...
It's a very American-centric name, isn't it?
It was called Altogether in Passion 2.
Man flies plane into spaceship.
Pretty much. I mean, the British like it for that great bit with the British people going, sadly, the Americans are telling us what to do. About bloody time, too.
Bloody time the Americans came and saved us again.
And I'm sure in those countries the sound of music for whatever certain elements of it really appealed in a different way to, and of course great songs. Yeah, the tunes are catchy wherever you go, aren't they?
Yeah. Are you talking about Independence Day?
Independence Day, definitely. What's the only song I can think of is The End of the World.
It's the end of the world.
With REM.
Yes.
And that's it. talking about the DVD game, we've already mentioned they kept the intermission. What I also liked about...
Why did they keep the intermission?
Strange, isn't it?
Bizarre.
I think it's, in a way, I'm glad I knew that's when the break was.
Yeah.
Because it does, you think, okay, and it is a long film. Did you do anything in the intermission? Or did you go right through?
No, we watched it, but we just talked, I think.
During the intermission, I was just like... Oh, right. And I did pause it and go off. And
Had an intermission. Did you get some ice cream?
I didn't get some ice cream. I grabbed some water, I think, and came back. And
I remember, the cinema in Watford, where I'm from, they used to have an intermission.
You're from the cinema in Watford?
I'm from the cinema. Yeah, I grew up underneath. I lived underneath the seats scavenging popcorn left by the patrons.
It's amazing you can live like that.
I know, exactly. They used to have an intermission.
Oh, there you go. What? Various films.
Every film.
Every film.
But after a while, they stopped doing it in the middle of the film, and they'd play the adverts, then have an intermission, close the curtains, someone would come out, sell some ice cream.
That's clever. Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know why they don't do that now.
Yeah, and then when the ice cream lady had gone, then the curtains opened again and the film came on.
Yeah. Also, with that particular DVD, the DVD it opens with Julie Andrews introducing the film.
Yeah, oh God, that was cheesy. That made me throw up a little bit in my mouth.
You know what, it made me think of The Twilight Zone. Just, I imagined her just with a cigarette.
Yeah.
You're about to enter a world where singing brings people together. And where the Nazis are trying to stop them. We're entering The Twilight Zone.
That was a bit weird,
wasn't it? I think all creators should introduce their TV show, like Rod Sterling in The Twilight Zone. It would be great at the beginning of each episode of EastEnders, opens with one of the writers just smoking, just introducing.
Exactly. I was going to start naming characters of EastEnders, and I don't know any of the characters of EastEnders.
Well, it hasn't been done in a slightly arch, kind of raised eyebrow way, does it? Yeah. Rod Sterling is, when one man's happiness creates another man's unhappiness.
So, by the way, you went up a bit. Unhappiness?
Anyway. We're doing a terrible disturbance to Rod Serling, one of the greatest writers of American television. Just depict him as an idiot. But anyway. Anyway.
That idiot Rod, I tell you.
So we kind of touched on some of the perhaps the weaker bits of the film, but what do you think?
Oh, it was too bloody long.
It was too long.
They could have cut out some bits. I think it moved quite quickly at the beginning, and I was surprised by how quickly all of the most famous songs appeared, like one after the other.
Straight away, bang, The Sound of Music.
Yeah.
Right at the very beginning. Yeah. I kind of thought that they would have that right at the end or something.
Mm.
Like they played the Bond theme tune at the end of the Bond film.
But so I was like, oh, actually, this is moving quite quickly. And then the second half just dragged and dragged. I like the bit moment of tension with the Nazis at the end.
That was true. When he was walking towards Rolf with the 16-year-old's kind of potential love interest boyfriend becomes a Nancy at the end.
Mm.
And he doesn't. I kind of did expect him to run away with them because he's like, come away, you're not. And he doesn't. He stays.
It's a really good scene.
Hung for war crimes after the war, so I understand.
Real life?
No.
I thought you were being serious then. Did Ralph really exist? Was there really a Ralph? Probably not.
I don't know. I doubt it.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't know. Maybe based on...
Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
Although I did hear that their oldest child was actually a boy, so they changed that for the film.
Oh, right. Oh.
So,
oh, that's
who knows? Maybe there was a Ralph. Anyway.
But that bit where he's walking towards Ralph and Russ going, I'll shoot you, and he just kind of says, no, you won't, you're better than this, don't do this. So that was a lot of tension there.
Yeah, it was really good. All his experience on board ships really helped there. He knew what to do.
Old Captain Sick Note.
Captain Sick Note, yeah.
With the children, actually, you just saying how the boy was the eldest. Because during the recording of the film, obviously the children, being the age they were, grew quite a lot. And it started with Lizelle, the eldest girl, taller than the boy by quite a substantial amount. So they gave the eldest boy some sort of shoes with big soles to try and build him up a bit.
Yeah.
And then... during the recording of the film, he went from 5'3" to 5'9".
No!
So in other bits...
5'3" to 5'9"!
Yeah, that age you do grow.
How long did it take to record this film?
I don't know. Well, a year. But in a year, at that age, kids do grow by that amount. And...
that Salzburg air.
So towards the end, they had to like have things where she had to stood on crates and he didn't wear shoes and stuff like that to try and maintain the correct kind of height ratio.
Oh, that's quite funny.
So, not so much a weaker bit, but perhaps a bit of a weaker bit, the outfits they
wear. I love the play clothes. The play clothes are brilliant. I want my own play clothes made out of curtains.
You want a flowery set of lederhosen to wear about the house.
It's it. Me and Flick, we're going to make some clothes out of curtains and we're just going to play in them in the park. Climb trees, just get muddy, it doesn't matter because they're our play clothes.
Just picture there when, in a couple of days' time when you force Flick to sit down and have to listen to this terrible conversation. Sitting there like that, her just shooting you a look right now as if she hears, I'm going to make her wear flowery lederhosen and we'll play in the park round the corner.
She would love it. We'd be singing Edelweiss, Do a Deer. I can't think of a better way to spend New Year's.
Yeah. Ooh, a bit cold though.
Oh, I don't know. If we get seven of us, then we
that's
can just
true. All bunch together.
Huddle
yeah,
together
that's
for
very
warmth.
True. That will get you through.
And if we could have extra thick curtains that we'd make the clothes out of, so it'd be fine. Maybe we'll get insulated curtains.
I thought that would be really uncomfortable to wear those curtains. It'd be horrible.
Yeah, it's a shit idea. We're not going to do it. Okay. We're not going to do it.
Right now she's thinking, but that's what my secret dream is, to wear curtains. In the form of lederhosen. Right, so would you recommend the film?
Yeah, I would, yeah. It was surprisingly good, actually.
If
I think
you've got almost 3 hours to spare, then I would recommend it.
I would recommend it at this time of year, when you've got a lot of spare time, perhaps you have your family or something,
Every year, various cinemas show the film with the kind of sing-along bits, don't they? So I would definitely recommend going to one of those.
I'd be just like, keep it down, I'm trying to watch the film, please!
Because you'd think, I've not seen the film, I won't know how to sing along. But as we said, once you actually watch it, you're like, oh, I know all these songs.
Yeah, totally.
So you would be easy. It would be quite good fun, I imagine, to do that.
And seeing as they repeat them about three times in the film anyway, but you'll know them by the end. And even within the songs, they just repeat all the verses again and again.
That's true.
You know, my favourite thing...
Rodgers and Hammerstein!
Julie Andrews only had about three favourite things. You just said them again and again.
Well, the songs... Well, they were originally going to use Von Trapp songs, weren't they?
They thought, no.
And then Rodgers and Hammerstein wrote one song, but it was so tonally different to the Von Trapp songs, they then said, oh, actually, shall we write the entire score? So they ended up writing the entire score.
Okay.
So none of the songs are actually in... none of the Von Trapp songs are actually in the film about the Von Trapps. And I know that a couple of the songs weren't originally in the stage play, because it was originally a play, wasn't it? And then was turned into a film.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of songs, and now when they've done the plays again, they've had to incorporate the film score, because that's become like the definitive version.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It is interesting.
You're full of facts today. Really full of facts.
The great thing about this...
Big bag full of facts.
Well, I'll tell you one thing about this, because I read these facts on Wikipedia and stuff, and then sort of just... blurb them out on these podcasts. When I'm listening to the old podcasts, I say stuff which I've completely forgotten, and I think, oh, that's interesting. And it's me saying it.
Talk about ego tripping, Jesus.
good point, Ian. If only Lewis would stop interrupting you. I'll try to make your point.
Oh, no, that's a conversation for another day.
So, as it's a musical,
Oh my god. Listen to us ruin another song.
Yeah. There we go. Nice.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So it's Ian's ukulele challenge.
And uniquely, we're doing this at Lewis's house, so I've had to bring the ukulele all the way here. And the reason I wasn't going to bother doing a song, because I actually thought, oh, well, because it is actually a musical, and it would be a travesty.
We can't do a musical and you not do an awful version of one of the songs at the end.
But your girlfriend is so insistent. I was like, well, okay.
So you can blame her for this.
As you can on so much. So I had a long think about which songs to do. And I had a look at a few, and it was a bit of a struggle to do some of them. You can only... I did have a look at Edelweiss, but that's actually really tricky to do on the ukulele. Lots of chord changes. And I'm going to let you and the listeners at home into a little secret. You may not have noticed, but I'm not particularly a good ukulele player. I know,
Ian, pish posh. You do yourself a disservice.
I thought I'd do Do Re Mi, simply because it's all a song about learning how to sing.
Yeah.
Learning the fundamentals of music. Okay. And it seems strangely fitting for me to try and learn the fundamentals of music.
Well, in that case, I think you should sing it on your own this time.
Well, that's going to be tricky.
You've got to learn sometime.
Okay, right. Right, well...
I'm just going to sit here, arms folded, and watch you butcher this song.
Okay, so let me just get the.
La 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 la.
Do a deer, a female deer. Ray a drop of golden sun. Me a name I call myself. Far a long, long way to run.
Sue a needle pulling thread.
I'm trying to concentrate on...
You can read English.
Yeah, but I'm reading it, singing it, and playing the ukulele, and looking at what I've got to play at the same time.
You know, a lot of people manage to do this.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people do, but I'm not one of them. Okay.
Come on, you're on Sue. I mean, so.
Okay, all right, hang on. All right, okay, so. So a needle pulling thread. La, a note to fall a soul. Tea, a drink of jam and bread. That will bring us back to doll. All together now.
No more.
Ray, a drop of golden sun.
It's not even in the right bloody note.
Me,
a dear, Ray, female dear. Ray, a golden drop of sun.
Me, a name I call myself.
This is what you should far say. A long, long way to run. You're just...
Remember, you're a professional singer. So...
You're just tone deaf.
I am tone deaf. Well, or I can't sing. I can't sing as well.
Yes.
That's the more difficult part of this. But I kind of... The tune was there, sort of, wasn't it?
Well, I think the...
So simple.
What is this? Is this the reprise?
The biggest bring us to oh, that wasn't good. Lewis is on the floor at the moment. I'm done.
Wow. Okay.
Do you think we'll get mentioned in the ukulele listings again?
Well, I think you might be struck off the ukulele club.
That would require me to be a member of the ukulele club to be struck off.
They're going to make you a member and then blackball you just Anyway.
So that brings us to the end.
Thank God. One more thing we should mention. We've had a couple of recommendations from people. Thank you very much for sending us your recommendations.
Yeah, who have we had? We've had...
So Laura and Tara recommended a Chinese, I think, or Chinese or Hong Kong vampire film called Mr. Vampire.
Great.
We had a little bit of a look of it on YouTube. It does look very, very funny.
So yeah, we'll do that at some point. Yeah, is it Andy, your friend Andy?
Yeah, my friend Andy from work. He's recommended Demon Seed, which I also had a look at. Blimey, that looks horrific.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, we might do that.
I think I'm going to watch it. And if it's if it gives me nightmares, then we're definitely doing it.
And Blind Fury.
Oh, Blind Fury. I think that was more of a joke recommendation, really.
Yeah.
But that's Blind Fury is a remake of Blind Samurai.
He mentioned a couple. I'm sure these, out of the five he listed... Those two are the ones they said we shouldn't probably do ones, but perhaps you do the other three. You've not put the other three down.
I can't remember what the other one.
Great. Okay.
Sorry, Andy. I'll look them up on the email.
Well, that was good. Brilliant. Okay. And of course, if you so wish, you can follow us on Twitter at 101 Things Inc. You can join our Facebook group, and which is slightly confusing. I don't know if you get.
I think we need to set up a page on Facebook. This
we
is
have
the thing.
Got a set.
No, we've
that
got, we've
a,
got
page.
A group. We need to do a page.
Oh, okay.
There's a difference.
All right, well, perhaps cut this out. It's a conversation. This is going to be peeping behind the curtain.
Yeah.
But you can find all that information on Together Now, 101 Films. Go on, we should say.
No, I'm not doing it together. This is not
WordPress.com.
This is not going live. Anyway. Oh. Email us with your recommendations at 101filmsyoushouldhaveseen@gmail.com.
That's on the Google.
That's on the Google, yes.
Yeah, that's on the Google.
Yes, look on the Google.
And we'll speak to you in 2012.
Ooh.
You hear from us again in 2012. Imagine that.
Exciting, isn't
it? Wow, perhaps we should do the film 2012. I've not seen it.
No.
Let's not do that. No, all right. Bye.
Okay, bye.